Nelson DeMille is New York City born and bred. He spent 3 years at Hofstra University, then joined the Army, where he served as a first lieutenant and infantry platoon leader with the 1st Cavalry Division in Vietnam. He was decorated with the Air Medal, the Bronze Star, and the Vietnamese Cross of Gallantry. After returning to the States, Nelson went back to Hofstra and received his degree in poli-sci and history. He started writing NYPD detective novels. His first major novel, By the Rivers of Babylon, was published in 1978. Nelson has written 18 popular novels, including The General's Daughter, which was made into a motion picture. His other bestsellers include Plum Island, The Gold Coast, The Lion's Game, and one of my all-time favorite books, The Charm School. DeMille is a member of the Authors Guild and the Mystery Writers of America. Today we'll speak with him about his 7th John Gorey novel, Radiant Angel. Welcome, Nelson. I'm thrilled to have you back with us on the Book Report.
It's good to be back, Elaine.
Nelson, once again, the Ruskies are trying to blow us up. Why can't we just all get along?
Good question. Why can't we all get along? Well, in Radiant Angel, this is kind of the theme or the motif of the book, that the Russians are resurgent and that we're not getting along for a variety of reasons. And the Russians pose what I call an existential threat to America. Not as obvious as the threat from radical Islam, but the threat is there nonetheless. And my character, John Gorey, and a few others one of my characters is Buck Harris, old Cold Warrior. He sees the resurgent Russia for what it is, and he sees Putin for what he is. And, I don't want to get too geopolitical in the book. It is an entertainment, but I think, there's enough in there to keep us all thinking, and maybe this switch some of our focus away from Islamic terrorism, although it's, we need to focus on it, but to stop ignoring what's happening in Russia now.
Why the title Radiant Angel?
Oh, well, this is not a religious book, by the way. Radiant Angel is a code word, a code phrase for a nuclear detection operation. In other words, if the FBI or the local police are using radiation detectors to sweep an area, whether it be a seaport or any area, it's called a Radiant Angel operation.
I see. Early in the book, you describe U.S.-Soviet relations as follows. The only thing that's changed since the early days of the Cold War is the encryption codes. Will you expand on that?
I make the point through John Gorey and a little bit through the bad guy. He was Colonel Petrov. He's SVR, which is actually the old KGB. The point I'm making in the book is that Putin has given the Russian people their pride back, and he's very nationalistic. At the same time, the Russians, and I've been to Russia twice, are very pro-American, very pro-Western. They could be our allies. They have the same problems we do, which is Islamic terrorism, in their case, within their own borders. And we have a lot in common, and yet the State Department, this is my opinion, and this administration, and the last one, and this has nothing to do with politics. It has to do with people not paying attention to what is really the second most powerful country in the world. More powerful in many ways than China, and they certainly were equals to us during the period of the Cold War. They still possess thousands of thermonuclear warheads. They have a vast standing army, huge natural resources, and Putin is moving the country in the wrong direction. They've taken over the Crimea, and they're moving into the Ukraine, and they're intimidating their neighbors. The Eastern Europeans, if you go to Europe, are very concerned about the Russians, and we are just kind of sleeping through this whole thing because, again, we are more obsessed with Islamic terrorism, and we don't get that the Russians are actually a potentially greater danger to us.
Radiant Angel brings up a chilling aspect of the ineffectuality of our war on terror. We've concentrated so much on airport security, but not nearly enough on seaport security. Do you believe this is changing?
And the airports, of course, could be secured at both ends. Every foreign airport has got good security. Seaports are different. Seaports are all over the world. Not a lot of security at the other end in many, many countries. And when by the time a ship got here, if it had a dirty bomb on board or a nuclear device on board, which is what Radiant Angel is about, it's kind of late when it's sailing into the harbor. And we do have radiation detectors in every harbor in the country, and we can detect radiation, but not always, because it can be shielded. These cargo ships are huge, and thousands of them coming into American ports every year, hundreds of thousands, millions of tons of cargo, and amongst that cargo could be, as I have in my book, Radiant Angel, a suitcase nuke, a small suitcase nuke, no bigger than a steamer trunk, that packs 20 kilotons of atomic energy, about the size of the Hiroshima bomb. That could be hidden and it could be shielded. And if it was sailed into New York Harbor or any other harbor and detonated, it would level the city.
In the acknowledgments, you state that John Corey is based on an actual NYPD detective. How did you get him to share his secrets?
It's a good question. He was at NYPD, and he did retire, as my character John Corey did, and then took a job with the Joint Terrorist Task Force. You know, since 9/11, the federal government has been hiring a lot of local police to work in these task forces around the country, mostly having to do with Islamic terrorism, because the local police know the territory very well. So this is a real career arc of an individual that I knew and was friendly with. And I said, you know, tell me about your world. And he told me about the FBI and a clash of cultures between the NYPD, who work in the same offices as the FBI within the task force. And the whole thing sounded kind of interesting. This was about 15 years ago. So I created this this kind of world of John Corey and his problems with the very politically correct FBI and federal government and his own personality, which is very politically incorrect. And that's part of the book, too. And also the sharing of information between the FBI and the police, which is not good sometimes, and the CIA, who shares with nobody. There was a lot of turf wars going on. And the point I make in a lot of books is that 9/11 may not have happened. And there was more sharing of information. The information was there. This wasn't being shared, and it wasn't being analyzed correctly, and it wasn't being acted on.
We're speaking with Nelson DeMille on The Book Report. Radiant Angel is the seventh John Corey book. How has he changed over the years?
With your series characters, you realize that your character, as the years go by, is getting a little bit older. But he's kind of trying to freeze time. John Corey himself was maybe a little bit more of a wise guy in the earlier books, and he's matured a bit now. He's still politically incorrect. He still makes wisecracks. That changes personality a little bit, and then he's a little bit more low-key, but it also changes his job. He's not working in the Mideast section anymore of the Anti-Terrorist Task Force. Now he's with the Diplomatic Security Group, and he's tasked with keeping an eye on the Russian diplomats at the United Nations in Manhattan. That's what Radiant Angel is about.
You're always so spot on with technology. How much time do you spend researching before you start writing?
A lot of research. You know, you don't want to publish your research notes, but you do want to weave the research in the book in an entertaining way. And most of what I write is based on, if not all of it, is based on fact. Because fact really is stranger than fiction. When I do my research, I discover things that are kind of chilling sometimes, seaport security being one of them. And also, sometimes the reality of the situation doesn't form the plot. I have a plot in my mind, but when I'm doing research, I realize there's a better plot here. And that's what happened with Radiant Angel. The more research I did, the more I realized that there's a realistic scenario having to do with seaport security and nuclear and a nuclear terrorist attack. And I kind of wove it into the book. And most readers can figure out that most of this is based on fact.
I learned that when you write, you actually use pen and paper.
That's the way I learned how to write when I was in the first grade. So, and it worked for me then, and it still works. So, yeah. I don't type. It's hard to compose on a computer, and I like the feeling of the pencil in my hand or the pen and the legal pads, although eventually, of course, I do turn it into type copy, and I work with it on a computer. But the first two or three drafts are done longhand.
I see that a recipe of yours has been included in the Mystery Writers of America cookbook. So what's your signature dish?
Pigs in the blanket, of course. The blanket. My character, John Corey's favorite. Whenever he goes someplace, he's always looking for pigs in the blanket. And it's kind of a funny motif that runs throughout the book. So when Mystery Writers of America asked me to submit a recipe for their annual cookbook, I picked John Corey's Pigs in the Blanket, and gotten a lot of good reviews on those and on that recipe.
Mm-hmm. Are you already working on your next John Corey book?
My next book is actually not a John Corey book. I'm giving John a little bit of a break. My next book is set in Cuba. And I'm working on it now, and I'm going to Cuba in October to do the research. And if I'm not arrested, I should have the book done by hopefully early next year for a fall 2016 release.
Oh, are you planning on smuggling in some Havanas on the way back?
I'm going to try to stay clean this time. I don't want to get caught on about the border coming back.
Nelson, thank you so much for joining me today.
Well, thank you, Elaine. Good to talk to you.
Bye.